Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Bill Michaels, Radio Joe Zola, producing the program. Evan Heffelfinger behind the glass. And we are glad you are here on day two of July as we start to turn the corner and maybe we start rolling downhill and pick up some momentum and end 2020, the nightmare of a year. And we get on with our lives. And that's kind of the way I'm counting it down now. I hope we're counting down to sports, down to the end of the culmination of the NHL and the NBA season, the beginning of baseball, the NFL, college football, the end of golf and NASCAR and everything, and everybody remains healthy and we move forward. And, God, we just need to get into 2021 and clear the slate. I can only imagine what New Year's Eve on 2020 is going to be. There is going to be so many people going, thank God. And maybe 2021 is going to be a lot better, and there's going to be optimism reigning supreme. And that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. This somewhat stunned me yesterday. I got wind of this, and I had to go back and listen to it. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, spoke yesterday on the national show that is Dan Patrick. And they got into the discussion about how Rob Manfred did during the negotiations with the Players Association. Okay? What he said, I had to go back and say, wait a minute, what? What he said was so angering that if I'm an owner of a baseball team, I'm calling him today, or maybe calling the other owners going, this guy needs to go. He needs to go. Because if the players file a grievance, all the lawyers need to do is pull the clip and say, here you go. Here you go. Rob Manfred talked about 60 games, and take a listen to what he had to say.
Look, I think the most important thing to our fans is that we're going to make every attempt to get the game back on the field. You know, I know some people have talked about longer seasons, 60 too short. The reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiation with the players went or any other factor. 60 games is the outside of the envelope, given the realities of the virus.
Can you believe he just said that? We went through all of this back and forth. They talked about 82 games. Hell, the owners even at one point said 70-something games. 72 games, I think. The players wanted 80-something. You mean to tell me we went through all of this, all of this, when you're saying the reality is we were never going to play more than 60 games, you put the baseball fans and the American public through hell listening to the sniping, the back and forth, the arguing over money, when you never, ever were bargaining in good faith, making that statement that you were never going to play more than 60 games. If I'm, and I am, a baseball fan, I am so pissed this morning at Rob Manfred and the owners. Shame on them. Shame on those owners for putting everybody through this. You should have just said we were always just going to institute what we signed back in March. Let's just get it going. Instead, this is what you do. You go back and forth and back, and you look like you're bargaining and coming to the table and making concessions. And when this is what your plan was all along, shame on Rob Manfred. Manfred talks about his biggest regret not getting the expanded playoffs.
We did get a suboptimal result from the negotiation in some ways. You know, we didn't. The fans aren't going to get an expanded postseason, which I think would have been good with the shortened season. And, you know, look, the players left real money on the table. They left $25 million worth of playoff pools, $33 million worth of salary advances. But that's what happens when you have a negotiation that, instead of being collaborative, gets, you know, into sort of a conflict situation.
Well, when you're not bargaining in good faith, yeah. No wonder the players don't trust you. No wonder the players don't trust you. I'm still just stunned by the statement that this guy's an educated man. To let the cat out of the bag, even if that was your intent all along, you talk about, well, a conflicted negotiation. Well, when you're not being honest, yeah, no wonder they don't trust you. Manfred talks about baseball and the players following the safety protocols put in place.
As with any set of rules, the most important thing is self-policing. You know, I think the players understand that these protocols are necessary to keep them safe and keep the game going. We are going to be constantly and closely monitoring adherence to the protocols. But I will say, I talked to a number of clubs yesterday as players are reporting, and, you know, I was really heartened by the fact clubs are saying is players have been great about this. They have masks on. You don't have to tell them to wear them when they're off the field. They're doing the right thing, and that's good.
It is good that players are caring about their safety, health, and welfare. Manfred says, given the unpredictability of the virus, 60 games is the best you can do.
You know, I think this is the one thing that we come back to every single day. We're trying to manage something that has proven to be unpredictable and unmanageable. I know it hasn't looked particularly pretty in spots, but having said that, if we can pull off this 60-game season, I think it was the best we were going to do for our fans, given the course of the virus.
Well, the best you could have done for your fans would have been to tell everybody this is what you were doing to begin with, and not put fans, as you care so much about them, through the painstaking process of your bogus negotiation. I mean, that's what it was. That's what it was, people. Manfred insists it would have been impossible to start the season earlier than what they're doing, what they're going to do right now.
It's the calendar. We're playing 60 games in 63 days right now. I don't see, given how the reality of the health situation over the past few weeks, how we were going to get going any faster than the calendar we're on right now, no matter what the state of those negotiations were.
He also insists it wouldn't have been safe to start a second spring training earlier than July 1st.
Given that hard end date, what I said about the calendar before in the 60 games, if you look around the country, okay, there was no place or no possibility of us resuming operations either in home markets or in spring training facilities at a materially earlier time than July 1. It just was not consistent with the public health situation.
My question is, then why did you put us all, baseball fan-wise, through this? Why didn't you just say, we're going to play 60, we're going to give you your prorated salaries, all we're asking for is expanded playoffs. The players could have either agreed or disagreed. You could have told everybody, we're going to do this on July 1st. This could have been your standard. This could have been your protocol. Players could have been doing whatever it is they needed to do to get themselves ready for this particular situation, talking to their families, getting everything on the table out there ready to go. Why did we have to go through all of this? If you were bargaining with one intent in mind, and that is to get where you already started and what you already had in your back pocket, what was this all about? Why? After hearing Rob Manfred speak, as a baseball fan, how do you feel? 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Again, 855-830-8648. I would love to get your thoughts on this, because when I heard this, I was so angry. I was just so angry. Because I'm thinking, why then did we have to go through the public bickering back and forth? If this is what you were going to do all along, and you had the power to do it, This was already negotiated back in March. So in other words, you were just basically, what the players were claiming was, you were trying to get more out of them and going back on your deal. So in other words, the players were right. They were right. You were just going back to the well again. When you already had this in place, why in the world did we have to go through this again? As a baseball fan, I want your thoughts. 855-830-8648. I would love to hear it. Drop me an email, BillMichaels@BillMichaelsSports.com. You can hit me up on Twitter. You can hit me up on the Facebook fan page. I would love to get some of the comments, some of the thoughts out of baseball fans, hardcore baseball fans that just feel like originally they were just kind of screwed over to begin with. Do you feel even more so now that you were taken on a ride when the outcome was already predetermined? I just don't understand why baseball did this. I don't understand why Rob Manfred would let the cat out of the bag publicly and just say, yeah, we know what we were going to do. We weren't going to do more than 60 games anyway. 855-830-8648. Now, maybe he said it poorly and just didn't expound upon it. Maybe in some way, shape, or form, I can give him the benefit of the doubt. But I'll tell you this, if I'm the Players Association and I've got Tony Clark's lawyers all over saying they were never negotiating in good faith, and I take that clip and I play it in a court, Rob Manfred and the owners, you lose. You lose. Because you just stated it. We were never bargaining in good faith. We were always going to do this. God, it's so angering as a baseball fan. 855-830-8648. Hang in there. We got a lot more coming up. Also, 10 reasons why the Bucks are the team to beat in the NBA. But we're talking baseball as well. I'm upset. I'm angry today. We got more right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Look, I think the most important thing to our fans is that we're going to make every attempt to get the game back on the field. You know, I know some people have talked about longer seasons, 60 too short. The reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiation with the players went or any other factor. 60 games is the outside of the envelope, given the realities of the virus.
Wow. Just wow. Rob Manfred there on the Dan Patrick Show, basically saying, hey, by the way, we put you through the agony of that public discussion regarding Major League Baseball, regarding the anger, regarding the back and forth between them and the Players Association. We put you through all of that. Why? Just because. Because the reality, as he states it, was we were never going to consider more than 60 games. How can you say that? And Rob Manfred is an attorney. He's an attorney. How do you turn around and tell people that? Knowing that there could be a grievance filed against you, and if indeed there is, you just lost. Because they're going to play that back. And they're going to say, oh, by the way, the owners, they never negotiated in good faith. And they're going to play that. They're going to go, here's the reason why. Because Rob Manfred was never going to negotiate more than 60 games. So even the owner's offer of 72, doesn't that anger you? They offered 72, and it's a lie. A giant steaming pant load. 855-830-8648 from Brandon. He says, if Manfred is a lawyer, he's not a very good one. With a lot of things that he says, I was with the owners, but now I'm with the players because of what I just heard. Right? Right? Joe writes in the Wendy's email inbox, Rob Manfred has to be the biggest idiot on the face of the earth to come out and say that, oh, by the way, our offers prior to the 60-game offer were all bogus, is angering as a fan. And makes me angry with Mark Attanasio for even supporting this buffoon. Technically, he works for the owners. He is nothing more than a lawyer and a puppet. And now we know what the owner's real agenda was. I now side with the players. To hell with the owners getting my money anymore. This is from Steven. Steven writes in Wendy's email inbox, there's no bigger moron on the face of the earth than Rob Manfred for what he just said. When I heard that yesterday live, I almost fell out of my seat. I'm like you. I was thinking, what about the 72-game offer? If you were never going to play it, why would you offer it? Right? 100% agree. 100% agree. Amy says, I am shocked and disappointed as a baseball fan that the owners would attempt to go back to the well yet again and try to get more money out of the players and under the guise of playing more games. This is very disappointing, and baseball is in a shambles. I just... Like I said, unless there's something that I'm missing, and I don't think I am. I think many of you are on the same page. He just said that this is it. We were always going to play 60. Now, logistically, maybe if he says, okay, if he would have followed it up and said, technically we couldn't get everybody together under the protocols and under the municipalities until July 1st, well, okay. But nobody knew what was going to open up and what wasn't going to open up. Nobody knew whose phase and whose phases were or were not going to proceed forward. Nobody knew whether or not Florida or California or Texas or Arizona, any of these states, were going to start to rescind and go backwards. Nobody knew that back then. Nobody knew that at the beginning of the season when it was supposed to happen, when they began to shut things down and then started to negotiate and open things back up. Nobody knew any of that. So I don't know how you can justify what it is he just said if I'm Rob Manfred. That's the most shocking thing of all. Ryan writes in the Wendy's email inbox, says, hey guys, this makes me even more disgusted with baseball. I was already hell-bent on not paying attention to it. Now I'm never going to go back. They truly do not give a damn about the fans. All they care about is the money. The fact that the owners went back to the players again to try to put the squeeze on them is disgusting. Rob Manfred should be fired immediately and get better representation of the owners for somebody who can not only bargain properly but keep their damn mouth shut. I got to be overlooking something here. Nobody that is an attorney can be this stupid when it comes to publicly saying, no, not going to happen. We were never going to play more than 60 games. Well, then why was the American public and the American baseball fan put through all of this? Again and again and again, I ask that same question. Is there anybody out there that differs in the opinion? Let me ask you that. Is there anybody out there that would differ with this opinion? Matthew says, Manfred is a moron. That's exactly what the players wanted to file a grievance. Josh says and tweets us at @Bill_Michaels and says, if I'm the players, I have my attorneys going to the lawyers today. Let's go to Zachary, listening in to us in Altoona. Zachary, how you doing, man? What's going on?
Well, I love watching sports, and it just seems like baseball is so unorganized right now. It seems like the commissioner is completely unorganized. It seems like basketball is probably the most organized sport that's going right now. I love watching baseball. I just feel cheated out of 3 months of no sports besides the coronavirus.
Right. I feel like it was what we were going through was posturing and dishonesty. As far as the fans go.
I agree. There was the 94 strike, but we weren't being held back by commissioner and owners like this because of money, and geez, it just feels like we've been cheated for 3 months.
Yep. And that's a great way to put it. It feels like we've been cheated and used.
Yeah, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Okay, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for giving us a buzz. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Mike writes in Wendy's email inbox, the owners should be ashamed of themselves going back to the players and negotiating under false pretenses. I am fully on the players' side now. The players that take free agency to get as much as they possibly can, I used to scoff at. Now I am saying screw the owners out of every damn dime you possibly can screw them out of. Now, I will say this. Let's not go to the extreme, okay? Let's not get crazy, because without the owners, you don't have the game. Without the players, you don't have the game. They need to go hand in hand. What I'm disgusted with is the fact that this was an open and public discussion and debate, and this is what it came down to. You know what I mean? This is what it came down to. It came down to kind of using the fan to try to gain posture, I guess is the best way to put it. Right? I mean, isn't that what happened? It just disappoints you. And again, if I'm missing something, please fill me in, because I don't claim to ever be the smartest, the sharpest knife in the drawer here. Please fill me in. Let's go to Rick listening to us in Waukesha. Rick, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking the call, Bill.
You to bet.
So, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here. I'm not, taking one side or the other, but,
sure.
I listened to it live, and yet my first reaction was, you son of a, what? And I'm like, but then he used the term we, and so I started thinking about it. Is he saying we were never going to, meaning we the owners, we the players, we collectively were never going to be able to do more than 60 games, given when we could officially start this and given the calendar and all that other stuff? So I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but, I don't trust him. But just something to think about that, there was probably some other stuff thrown out, the 70 games and then the 80 games and all this other stuff. But when they maybe looked at it behind closed doors, they were saying, well, how are we going to fit that in given the timeline? Are we going to go, into, mid-October, November? Is that realistic? Or how are we going to do a bunch of doubleheaders? How many of those? Is it realistic that we just are going to be able to do 60 games, and that's what's best? So that's kind of how I'm, interpreting it a little bit. I don't know if that's right or wrong. I'm just giving a different spin on it for you.
No, I get it. I appreciate the phone call. The problem is that if I'm Rob Manfred, I didn't expound upon it. I said we were never going to play more than 60 games. And if I'm an average baseball fan, I'm going, wait a minute. We just got done with this. We got done with this discussion. What do you mean? You were offering 72. You were offering all these games. You were kind of complaining that the players were being irrational and reasonable. Wait a minute. And now you're telling me your intent was never to play more than 60 games to begin with, when you already had that deal in place? Well, then what did you put us through this for? 855-830-8648. When we come back, Jim Colony, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, going to chat with him coming up next to the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Clay Bill Michaels Show continues on. Epoxy Flooring Done Right, Wisconsin-based company. It provides home and business owners, industrial owners, with epoxy floor coverings, polyurea floor coverings at affordable prices, top quality workmanship, lifetime warranties. They can even paint those rooms in those warehouses. Check them out on the web with Sean and the gang. EpoxyFlooringDoneRight.com. That is EpoxyFlooringDoneRight.com. Jim Colony of 93.7 A Fan in Pittsburgh as we start our look around the National League Central, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Jim, how you doing, man?
Bill, this is great. I thought I'd never hear from you again. I thought there would be no more sports, no more Steelers, no more Packers, no more Pirates, no more Brewers. Yet here we are, maybe.
We have run off into the COVID abyss, and right now we're just looking for life preservers, I guess is the best way to put it. So yeah. Good to hear from you. How are things there in Pittsburgh? How is your team doing?
Well, they're all there. As far as we know, they've done a pretty good job of, you know, the only way you can talk to these guys anymore is, either via phone or via Zoom or via whatever. And Derek Shelton, the manager, does a weekly spot on our station on Wednesdays. So we've been in constant contact with him. But as far as we know, talking to the manager, the GM, a few of the players, is that everybody's going to be there. Nobody is opting out. And as of earlier in the week, nobody had tested positive. But, you know, we'll find out a little bit more today because players, a lot of guys have been here. I don't know what it's been like for you guys. There have probably been, I don't know, a half dozen, then up to a dozen players. So half of the big league squad, as it's going to look, has been around for a little bit, but now everybody's going to be here they should be here by tomorrow.
So as they all have gone in, and yeah, there are some players that were still living in this area, and they've been, my assumption is they've been doing their workouts here or at some of the ballparks around here. But as this thing gets underway, now you tell me, what's the optimism for the Pittsburgh Pirates and that fan base?
There isn't any. And they're really, the only reason for optimism is that it's a short season, and that's it. Is that you can point to, if you go through the first 60 games of last season, the Pirates were not over 500. They were 29-31 through 60 games. But at least that means that they were, if it had been that way, they would have been in contention such as it was. Now, if the players, if all this labor nonsense hadn't have ended up the way it did, and somehow they had an expanded playoff system, then I think you'd be talking a little bit, that there'd be a reason for optimism. But, you know, Chris Archer's out for the season. He had this injury that nobody really knew about. Edgar Santana, who's a real promising arm in the bullpen, who was good 2 years ago, Tommy John surgery, came back this spring and didn't allow a base runner in 15 innings. And I was down there. I saw all of his games. He's really good. He gets a PED suspension. So their bullpen is still okay, and they may actually come up with a better pitcher than Chris Archer has been for them since he came over in that what's looking like an awful trade a year and a half ago. But other than that, you know, there's a lot of things that, okay, if this happens, if that happens. But especially now with the DH, I just don't know that the Pirates have the kind of pop in a batting order. They've got two, not automatic outs, but pretty close to it, whoever the catcher is, and then Gerard Dyson in center field. Those guys, their batting averages are just a little bit better than pitchers. And so they don't have the kind of a lineup that, you know, we used to call an American League lineup with a DH, where you had basically no automatic outs and maybe only one or two weak bats in an order. The Pirates still have that problem.
How's the pitching staff? We all know that it's going to be a short sprint, and whether or not you can use starters for three or four or five innings and then get to that bullpen, what does your pitching staff look like?
Well, that's another one of the – it seems like, I don't know, maybe you get these too. The only answer I have for any COVID-related kind of a question is I don't know. And with the Pirates, I don't know. Now, here's some reason for optimism, however, is Oscar Morin, who's the new pitching coach. And it's a departure from what they had in the past, where they tried to make Tyler Glasnow into a guy that threw sinker balls to try to get ground ball outs instead of just blowing it past guys, which is what he's doing now in Tampa Bay. Oscar Morin is willing to work with pitchers to work with their strengths to do what they do best. And we saw a little bit of that in spring training, but you really don't see, you know what it is, you don't see all that much. So, but the pitchers rave about him. And it's not about, like, you're going to do it my way. It's like, well, what do you want to do? And get feedback from a pitcher and work with them. I mean, these guys didn't get to this level by accident. And there's some talent there. And I love to see the way that he's going to work with these guys. But again, with a short season and everything, I don't know. The pitchers that we've talked to are saying that they're ready to go. They expect they'll be ready to go four innings right now. Like if they had to go out next week and pitch in a game, that they could go four innings. They're pretty confident in that. And so who knows, maybe by the time that the games actually start, such as they'll be, that those guys could be good for at least five and maybe even six innings. And that's important if they can get that far.
I keep reading about Adam Frazier being the potential odd man out in a very crowded infield. Is there talks of possibly trading him at some point to try to get something to move him?
At some point, yes. I would expect that to be during the next off season. Of course, we don't even know. Maybe it already is the next off season, right? But I think with Frazier, now David Freese, who's a pretty good authority, the guy was a World Series MVP, and he was with the Pirates for a little bit. When he left, he predicted that he thought Frazier had the kind of stuff to win a batting title. And he's a left-handed hitter. He's got decent speed. So the problem was last year, Frazier admitted finally in the offseason that he was playing through injuries, a couple of them, that really hampered him. Now, I'm not going to suggest that in a short season he's going to threaten 400, but he's actually a pretty good hitter. And the top of the Pirates' batting order is not bad. You know, Kevin Newman was kind of under the radar as a rookie last season, the shortstop, because he hit over 300, but so did Brian Reynolds, who was a bona fide Rookie of the Year candidate. And so you've got Newman, you've got Reynolds, a switch hitter in the number two spot, Frazier at number three, and then if you can get the May-June version of Josh Bell in the cleanup spot, now there's a real batting order right there. That's the makings of some real good young hitters up top. But to answer your question, the Pirates have two guys in the minors, and there won't be a minor league season this year, two former high draft picks, with Cole Tucker, who's a shortstop second baseman, and then also Key Brian Hayes, who could be the best fielding third baseman in professional baseball, period. His bat hasn't caught up to that yet. And could he beat out Colin Moran at third base? A lot of Pirate fans would like to see that happen. They're crowded in the infield. You know what I'd do, though? What I would do is I would forget about Jerrod Dyson. I would move Brian Reynolds to center field. He's a really good outfielder. He's a fine center fielder. And put Frazier out in left field and make that your regular lineup. And then if Gregory Polanco is halfway decent, and he did look good this spring, then you've got a decent outfield, and you make room for one of those younger guys in the infield. And you know what? Even put Colin Moran over at first base against right-handers, and DH Josh Bell, who's still working on his defense. That's getting better, but it's still not, you know, real major league caliber defense.
Well, that's my next question, because a lot of rumors flying around. I was reading in one of the New Jersey newspapers talking about the Yankees, that the Yankees could be looking for hitters. Josh Bell might be that guy. Would he be available? And if so, what would the Yankees, do you think, have to give up to get him? Because Brian Cashman has not mentioned him specifically, but certainly I think there's hints out there that that might be a guy they'd be interested in.
Well, I don't think anybody, you know, there's some talk about, you know, could the Pirates sign Josh Bell long term? But based on what happened last year, he was so good at the beginning, and then all of a sudden he just went cold. He rebounded a bit in September, but, you know, September stats can often be misleading with call-ups and everything. Could the Pirates make a long-term investment in him? I guess they could try, but his agent's Scott Boras, and that's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, yes, the Josh Bell, even though if I were the Pirates, I would not be actively seeking to trade him, but I would – hey, look, if anybody wants to talk about anybody, who are the Pirates to say no? I mean, just say, what do you got for us? But the thing is that the Pirates can't – if they could get a return, okay, if they could get a return like the Tampa Bay Rays got for Chris Archer with Glasnow, with Austin Meadows, and then a pitcher, Shane Baz, who's a former number one draft pick who throws up in the upper 90s, if the Pirates could get something like that for him in return, then they would be foolish not to do that. But I just wonder what the trade market's going to be like this year with the short season ahead and everything else, where teams – it's almost if teams will throw away the season. And if you want to use that term, that's why if I'm the Pirates, I'm taking a look at younger players and even relief pitchers they've got in their system that throw out. They got a kid, Blake Seidelin, who throws 100. He needs more experience to be sure. But what the heck? Put him on the 30-man roster at some point. He'll be on that taxi squad. You can call him up and down, I think. I don't know what the rules are on that yet. But, you know, look at some of these younger guys and almost treat it like the Grapefruit League. And, you know, I'm looking at this season like, why not, when it comes to all sorts of strategies and tactics.
Talking with Jim Colony, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Jim, before I let you go, so not a lot of expectations, but when the future starts to come to light, is it a 2-year, 3 years rebuilding type of thing, or do they expect more success sooner?
No, I think they're going to give Ben Cherington a chance. He's in an interesting spot because his experience, his success, was with Boston. And he's like a lot of the, I mean, I'm a native New Englander myself. I grew up in New Hampshire. So did Cherington. So I have a soft spot for those guys. Of course, Neil Huntington, his predecessor, is also from New Hampshire. But a lot of baseball men come from New England. They grew up as Red Sox fans as kids and learned the game that way. But I'm talking too much about this here. I want to give him a chance because the one thing that people say, oh, in Boston, you can spend, which they could. They also developed talent. They drafted, they knew talent, they drafted, and they developed these guys. And to me, that's been the Pirates' problem, is that they've had players they don't know what to do with. They haven't been able to develop these guys. And I want to see Cherington and his regime and watch them do this. And that's why this season's terrible, because there's no minor leagues. And it's so important for teams like the Pirates. The Brewers are kind of in that same position, although they spend the kind of money they should. That how are they going to develop their prospects when they don't have minor leagues? And so how are we going to evaluate what Cherington and his staff are doing if they don't have a chance to do that? It's a really weird time for everything. And certainly in baseball, the way that business is usually conducted and minor leagues and, I don't know, inter-squad, you know, what do you do? And I know you guys are, in Arizona, and the Pirates are in Florida. And what, are you going to send your guys down there now?
Right.
Or it's a hot spot again. It's just, I mean, it's unbelievable, all the roadblocks that are here. But, you know, it's time to politicize a little bit. It's time to start finding solutions instead of trying to blame everything on all sorts of people. You know, let's try to figure out what to do. And I think that's what Cherington and his staff will do, is they'll, you know, okay, we got some problems here, but we're going to figure out a way to work through it. It's just going to take an awful long time.
Excellent stuff. Jim, always a pleasure. Certainly appreciate it. Stay safe. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right, same to you, Bill. We'll see you.
Thanks, pal. There you go. Jim Colony, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, giving us the lowdown on what's going on with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. 85-plus. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. They are back. Tell you who next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
A couple of mean guys with fire in their eyes, known by the names of spit you out beyond a doubt. It pays not to mess with you. You got it.
Well, they're back. It's just weird. It's not sports, but they're back. Kind of like people refer to Joe and I at times as Beavis and Butthead. I would take the Butthead label. But Beavis and Butthead, remember that from years ago? Joe, weren't they on MTV? Wasn't that what it was, MTV?
MTV, baby.
Are you threatening me?
Yeah. That's where Cornholio came from. But, yeah, MTV had Beavis and Butthead years and years ago. I think it's Mike Judge who is the guy, the creator and the voice. But Beavis and Butthead are coming back.
I am Cornholio!
And it was basically two teenage guys that just said what they thought, and they were, it was like exactly. It's like they were dropping a microphone in your college dorm room or in your high school, you know, conversations.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, it was two awkward dudes, man. But Beavis and Butthead are coming back. Now they're coming back on Nickelodeon, aren't they?
No, Comedy Central.
Comedy Central will give them a good platform. I just wonder if it's going to be as edgy as it was, say, a la Family Guy, or if they're going to clean it up a little bit.
No, I think it will be edgy. Mike Judge had a quote after they decided to bring back Beavis and Butthead for two seasons. He said, quote, "It seemed like the time was right to get stupid again."
Yeah.
So put Beavis and Butthead in this world today. What is that going to look like?
Right. Yeah, it's it'll be because it's funny because I was watching Family Guy the other day, and the things that are said there, you know, now on one hand, you're cracking up because this is just stuff that everybody says, whatever color you happen to be, whatever creed you happen to be, whatever orientation you happen to be. This is stuff people say. And it's all offensive, every bit of it. That's what it's made to do. It's made to poke fun at the politically correct, and that's what that show's made to do. And I'm really surprised that there hasn't been in today's, you know, society, in today's culture, more blowback. And there's not. I mean, it pokes fun of everything, and that's, I guess, where you kind of get by with it because you're an equal opportunity, you know, maker funner of her type of thing. But Beavis and Butthead, it's going to be interesting when they come back. They're coming back to Comedy Central.
All right, where's the unit?
My unit?
Thank you very much.
And my pants?
There you go.
Okay.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Beavis and Butthead coming back. Hanging in there. Hanging in there. Coming up next, we'll talk more about to the Bucks. Do you agree that this is going to be the toughest championship ever to win? Also, the Cubs pitching coach, Tommy Hottovy. It's a really surreal experience that he had with COVID-19. We're going to hear that coming up as well. Zach Zabin, the pre- and post-game host on the Cubs Radio Network. Also, by the way, Jose Quintana cut his hand. We'll tell you more about that as well. That's all coming up right after this on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.